Hello, Judith. This is Dennis, Dennis Stevens here, and I'd like to thank you for the very welcome tape I received today, which is the 10th of November 1994. It's a very hot day here in the early summer in Brisbane today, although from the very welcome thumbnail sketch of your life you sent me, with your background in Zimbabwe, Rhodesia, and in South Africa, and also on the outskirts of the Kalahari Desert. Have I got the word right? Numidia. Yes, that desert in Southwest Africa. Yes, you would be no stranger to heat, would you? No stranger to heat at all. So you would be probably quite at home here in Brisbane on a day like today. Our climate here in Brisbane is much the same as the climate of Durban in South Africa. It's on the eastern, both towns are on the east coast of a large continental mass, and they're around about the same latitude, although I believe that Brisbane's a little bit closer to the equator, maybe 200 or 300 miles closer to the equator than Durban, so our winters would be a bit warmer than Durban's, and our summers would be a little hotter and a little more humid than Durban, although it's probably difficult to imagine a place that's more humid than Durban in the summer. Yes, I very much appreciated your thumbnail sketch of your life and so forth. As you say, it gave me an added reality on you as a person, and I'll return the compliment. You'll find on the reverse side of this tape a 45 minutes of a thumbnail sketch of me. I recorded this some or a year or so ago for Terry Scott. You may know Terry. He's quite well known in Scientology circles in the UK. And I recorded it for him for promotional purposes for Trom. But as I've got the master copy here, I thought, well, Judith might like a copy of this. I've just dubbed off a copy for you of that thumbnail sketch of Dennis Stevens. I hope you enjoy it. Give you a background, some background material on the subject of me. The recording you sent me, Judith, was very good. Was good quality. I could hear it quite clear. The only problem I had with the recording was that you are a little bit faint. Now, if you might excuse me saying so, this can be easily rectified if you bring your microphone closer to your mouth while you're speaking. These days, the electronics firms, they advertise that you can hold these microphones 5 miles from the mouth and so forth, and this is supposed to be a selling point. Well, the simple truth of the matter is that unless you're using professional equipment, the best results with ordinary commercial tape recorders is to get the microphone as close to the mouth as possible. For example, I'm recording this on an ordinary commercial tape recorder, but I'm holding the microphone about an inch from my lips, and it's an extension handheld microphone. You may be using the microphone that's built into your equipment. I suspect that you are, by the sounds. I suspect you're using the built-in mic. It's not convenient to bring the whole equipment close to the mouth. So what I suggest you do, if you want to immeasurably improve the quality of your recordings, is to get an extension microphone, purchase an extension microphone. They're available in any of your local electronic stores. Just make sure that the plug on the extension microphone you buy matches the input socket marked MIC on the tape recorder that you're using. But your husband will no doubt could help you with that, or one of your sons, if either of those have got any electronic knowledge. But then again, you too may be an expert on these things. So, but that's the only thing to watch for. Make sure your plug match. So you can improve your quality of your recordings immeasurably, Judith, by getting an extension microphone, holding it in your hand about an inch away from your mouth while you're recording. It's no problem. They usually sell them with a switch on. Mine's got a switch on. You hear it go click click occasionally. There it just went. I just switched the switch on. So you can always switch the machine off with a hand, with a switch on the microphone, have a little think, and then switch it back on again, and go on talking. Look, very handy, these little handheld microphones. Anyway, that's just in passing, just something you might like to know to improve the quality of your recordings. If you're doing recordings, sending recordings to me or recordings to other people, you might like to know how you can improve the quality of your recordings very, very cheaply. Yes, I'm not surprised to hear, Judith, that that you had that there was very little charge on your case on levels 2 and 3 of Tron after all the excellent auditing you've had from Leonard. Leonard's an old hand at this game. He's been in the game of auditing for many, many years. I remember him way back. He was on the he was one of my students on a course way back in the way back in the 1950s, and we've known each other for many years, Leonard, and he's a very, very fine auditor, and a very, very careful and a very, very thoughtful technician is Leonard. So you've been in good hands, and it's proven itself by the fact that you sailed through levels 2 and 3 of Tron. The phenomena you report at level 4 of Tron of getting some bodily feelings and bodily sensations and so forth, which is very not easy to pinpoint the source of, is not at all uncommon. Not at all uncommon. I had this phenomenon myself. When you get to level 5, you will discover the source of them. They show up at level 4, but you often at level 4 you don't find the source of them. Nevertheless, if you were to very, very carefully time break each and every one of these bodily sensations that turn up at level 4, you would find that you would be able to time break them back out of existence again. There's no need to walk around with your body feeling these feelings. You can time break them quite comfortably. You simply would experience the feeling in the body, then then become simultaneously aware of the feeling and simultaneously aware of the rest of the universe around you in present time, and you would find that the feeling would then come up to a peak and then would slowly fade out. It would go through the same cycle as anything else that was being time broken. So you can always get rid of these unknown and unwelcome feelings that show up at level 4 by time breaking the sensation, time breaking the feeling. But nevertheless, you were correct to leave level 4. You got bored with level 4. Fine, that's a sure sign that the level's gone flat. So you've got all the gain you can get out of level 4. And now you want to move on to level 5, and that is quite correct. That's the correct thing to do. And also, you've done the correct thing. You have a query on it, and you've got in touch with me. First of all, you took it up with Leonard, and now you've decided to come to me to get an answer to your question. Leonard has helped you as far as he could on the subject. And I'll be able to now give you the rest of the information that you need. So you've done everything exactly right so far, Judy, so congratulations. Many people in your position would possibly have not done it as correctly as you've done it, but you've done it exactly right. You've done the right thing. Now, before we proceed, Judith, to answer your question, I'd like you to take out your copy of Tron and turn it to the page with the postulate failure cycle chart on, and when you've done that, I'd like to make sure that you've got some corrections that I put in. So some of the early editions of Tron went out went out uncorrected. Yours almost certainly is corrected, but I just want to be sure that you've got a corrected edition. So would you locate to pick up your postulate failure cycle chart and count off from the left the seventh column, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The column 7 is the column with all the words overwhelm and overwhelmed in. That's column 7. Now the corrections And I'll give you the corrections which should be, the way the columns, the way the correction should be, the way it should be printed. Row 2B, that's row 2B, column 7, the word in that square is overwhelm and not overwhelmed. Repeat, 2B, column 7, the word in that square is the word overwhelm and not overwhelmed. Similarly, on 4B, row 4B, column 7, again the word is overwhelm and not overwhelmed. Similarly, row 6B, column 7, the word in that square is overwhelm and not overwhelmed. Similarly, row 8B, the word in column 7 is overwhelm and not overwhelmed. And that's all the corrections. That is the end of the corrections. Now, as I say, the copy you have almost certainly has it correctly, but if it doesn't have it correctly, put the corrections in, because it does change the sense very slightly of the chart. You might as well get the chart exactly right before you use it. It's important to get it exactly right. That's why I sent out these corrections. There are no other corrections required on the chart. The chart is now exactly as per my research notes, because I have the copy of the printed thing in front of me here. All right, without more ado, we'll go in now and answer your question. I will go through the chart as if I'm the subject and I'm running level 5. And I'm starting in at level 1A. I'm starting in at level 1A, and my goals package I'm using is the basic to no goals package. Okay, so I'm starting in now at level 1A. Before I start, as given in the manual, I would time break out all the day's activities, and also I would make sure that levels 1, 2, 3 and 4 have been run to no more change. I wouldn't attempt level 5 until those first 4 levels have been run to no more change, and also I've time broken out the day's activities. Right, well, here we go, level 1A. The first thing we need is a little bit of space around us. Now, it doesn't matter which space you use. You can use the space of the present time universe around you, or you can use the space of any past moment in time. It doesn't matter. You're not limited in any form whatsoever. You just need some space in which to work. So it doesn't have to be present time physical universe space. It can be past physical universe time space. Follow me? So you just need some space there to work. So we're at level 1A, and the first thing you would do is put up the postulate, the other's postulate there, must be known. The postulate is must be known, and that is in the class of not self. Now, it doesn't matter where you put the postulate. Most people prefer to put the postulate into a mass, but there's no reason why you should put it into a mass. You can put it into empty space if you want, but most people find it easier to put the postulate into a mass, either a created mass of your own choice, or into a wall, a part of the physical universe, a fence or a passing car or anything. It doesn't matter where you put it. But the important thing is that it's a must be known postulate and is in the class of not self. That is important, that it must be, you must be certain that it's in the others. It's in the class of others, which I will refer for more precision as the class of not self. So you would put up that postulate, must be known, in the class of not self. Then you put yourself then create the postulate must know. Now that postulate is in the class of self, that's you, right where you are. It's you holding the postulate must know. So you've got must be known over that way, origin, receipt, you where you are, you with the postulate must know. And the if you go over to column 8 on the chart, you'll see that the that this is the level here is false to know, and it's you being false to know. Get that? Doesn't matter what it is, you don't have to specify, it's you're just working with the postulates. So you would put up must be known over that way in the class of not self, and then get yourself there. Don't see yourself over that way doing this. You get yourself right where you are. With a must know postulate. There's a little danger there that you can say, all right, well, I'll get me over that way. And I'm like, no, that's wrong. You get you right where you are with a must know postulate. You understand that? It's you right where you are creating a must know postulate. Then you simply time break out anything that shows up, any sensations that show up. You hold the situation as a cameo, as a scenario, as a scene, and you time break out anything that happens. Anything that shows up, you time break it. Time break it out until it's gone away, and you put the postulates back up again. You put the postulates back up, and if more scenes show up from the past, you time break those back out, have a good look at them. Time break them back out of existence, then put the postulates back up again. And you keep on doing this until you can put those postulates up at level 1A with no more change occurring. You can quite happily put up the postulate must be known in the class of not self over that way while you're sitting there with must know, and you've got the idea that you're being forced to know, and it's quite okay, nothing happening, and it's all quieting down. Right, that you're now ready to move on. In other words, you start to get bored with that level. You've done all you can with that level. It's time to move on. So we now move now from level 1A to level 1B. Now, that is signified by you changing your postulate from must know to mustn't know. You're still at receipt point, but you're changing your postulate from must know to mustn't know. The postulate must be known is still out there in the class of not self. But now it's a gain. We now have a gains condition. We now have the opposition. We now have an opposition situation. We have must be known in the class of not self and mustn't know in the class of self. And they are opposing postulates, and that is a gain situation. So you just now hold that. Just hold that situation. And time break out anything that shows up. Anything that shows up there. And you continue with it until there's no more change. You've time broken out everything. You can quite happily have that situation there where you have must be known over there in the class of not self and mustn't know in the class of self. And you can hold that situation and there's nothing else. It's all quieting down. There's nothing else happening. And you're getting bored with it. You say, right, it's time to move on. So you now move on from 1B to 2A. Now this involves a definite change of you're going from origin now to receipt. There's a bigger change there going to happen now between 1B and 2A. When we go from 1B to 2A, when we go from 1B to 2A, you start off by, instead of feeling yourself at receipt point, you start to say to yourself, well now I mustn't know, I'm in mustn't know here, but now I'm starting to originate. You start to originate as mustn't know and drive your postulate mustn't know across to the other person, to the must be known. there. In other words, instead of you, of him being the originator and you being at the receipt, at level 2A, it's you the originator of mustn't know, and you drive him into the receipt of must be known. And in other words, you're beginning to get at him. You're beginning to get at the opponent. So it's you at mustn't know, and him still holding his postulate of must be known, but now instead of him being at the origin point, he's now at the receipt point. But it's still a game. Then again, you would do all the necessary time breaking, the handling that shows up, clean everything up until you're quite bored with that level and can hold level 2A. Then you would go to level 2B, where now you're going to actually overwhelm the opponent. You still stay in your mustn't know postulate, your origin, originating your mustn't know postulate at level 2B, and now you drive him, you actually force him, you drive him by sheer power of postulate, you drive him from must be known into mustn't be known. In other words, you make him comply with your postulate. So he is driven from must be known, he held at level 2A, he now goes to mustn't be known at level 2B. And level 2B, as you self with mustn't know as the origin, and the opponent is at mustn't be known at the receipt point there. So now we've gone through a whole little cycle, haven't we? We've gone through a whole little cycle. We had the complementary postulates at level 1A of must be known and must know. Now we've gone through two game cycles there, and now we've come back now to a complementary postulates again. But the postulates are now, have noticed that the postulates have changed. We're now in at 2B. If I pause here, it's because of my bad eyesight. I'm struggling to read this off the chart with my bad eyesight. At 2B, we have mustn't know, mustn't be known, and we're back with complementary postulates again. But now you're at the origin point, and the mustn't be known is at the receipt point. But again, we've achieved complementary postulates. And the level here now, it's not a game level. This is the overt of preventing from being known. Mustn't know. Now, I really don't have to go any further, Judith, because that is a complete little cycle that I run there in 1A, 1B, 2A, 2B. That gives a complete little cycle. There's four. It's a quarter of the whole set. And if you can follow that quarter, then the other quarters, the rest of the postulate failure cycle chart is three more quarters. But they all follow the same pattern. They all follow the same pattern as that first quarter. So if you can follow what I've just given you, you've got it. Now I've just rechecked over your tape. And I think I've answered your question. I think I've answered your question. Your difficulty is, basically, your difficulty is a lack of understanding that you're dealing purely with postulates. You're not dealing with effects here on the chart. You're dealing with postulates. That's all you're putting up is postulates. You're not putting up effects, you're not putting up sensations, or you're not creating people, or you're not mocking up people, or you're not mocking up walls or floors or situations. You're simply mocking up postulates, and that bugged many people right at the start. They're not used to working with just postulates. Well, that is the whole level of level 5 is postulates. That's all we work with at level 5 is postulates. We don't work with anything else. We time break out everything else that shows up. We only work with postulates at level 5. It's it is an incredible thing to work with. At first it seems very strange and so forth, very odd and peculiar to be just working with prostitutes. But after a while you get used to it, and when you get into level 5, you get to a point eventually that that you wouldn't dream of working with anything else but prostitutes, because you get the fastest results working with prostitutes. So you always work with just prostitutes, and you simply time break out everything else that shows up, any incidents that show up, any sensations or emotions or what have you that show up, you simply time break them out. So you're at level 5, you're working purely with prostitutes. Once you grasp that, you've got it. You've got it. You really get that. You've got it. You can work then at level 5 and realize what you're doing. Said in the write up there, there's no take it steady. If you can't overrun these levels at level 5. If you stay on a level longer than you need to run, all that's going to happen is you're going to get bored. So boredom is the sign that it's time to move on. Nothing terrible's going to happen if you overrun a level at level 5, but nasty things can start happening if you leave a level before you should have left it. So it's always best to err on the side of staying a little on the level a little longer than you need to, because as I mentioned in the write-up, if you leave a level before you should have left it, you can get into a lot of difficulty. But I've given you the repair there for level 5. It's in the text. There's the repair of what you do if this happens to you. In other words, you're bypassing a level. You're leaving a level before you should have left it. If you do that, you'll know all about it sooner or later. But there's a repair there, and I've explained that very, very, very carefully in the text. There's nothing I need to add any further on that subject. It's all thoroughly covered in the text, in the write-up. But that's the only real mistake you can make, is to leave a level before you should have left it. Before you should have left it. It's best to err on the side of boredom. Stay with a level until you're so bored with it that, oh my God, it's time I moved on. I'm absolutely bored with this. This is getting too easy. Now, what happens if you can't get the opponent to move his postulate? Suppose he's got his postulate stuck there at must be known, and you can't drive him in, say, to mustn't be known. He's at mustn't be known, and he refuses to budge. Okay, well, just simply mock up lots and lots and lots of him with that postulate. Just keep creating the opponent with that postulate. Just keep going. Might take 5 minutes, might take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour. Just keep create more and more and more of him, more and more an abundance of him with that postulate. Eventually you'll be able to change the postulate. So don't quit there. Never feel that there's a scarcity of postulates here. If a postulate fades out, put it back. If it fades out in the opponent, create it back in the opponent, but make sure the opponent's in the class of not self, and you are in the class of self. You are always in the class of self, and the opponent's always in the class of not self. You get that, you're okay. If your postulate's fade out, you put it back. If the opponent's postulate won't easily change, you can't get him, push him through the overwhelm, all right, mock up lots and lots of the postulate he's stuck in, that he insists upon staying in. He insists upon staying in mustn't be known. Okay, we'll mock up lots and lots of that postulate with the opponent in mustn't be known. And then we time break out anything that shows up. And then we move on. Eventually you'll always be able to move on. There's no such thing as getting stuck on the chart. If you get stuck, you just simply create your way out of the stuck situation. You get the idea? Your own creativity will always get you out. You just simply have to create the stuck point. Keep creating lots and lots of copies of what is happening, the point where it's sticking. Get the idea? Then you move on. But I'm sure I mentioned this in the write-up. But if I hadn't, well, I'm mentioning it now. The final point I'd like to mention on the running of level 5 here is the subject of RI. Now, as I mentioned it in the write-up, but I'll mention it again because it's so dreadfully important, level 5 will not run in the absence of RI. But when it all starts to grind and get difficult and get hard, and your field starts to go black and so forth, the most likely explanation is that you've neglected to run RI. If you don't run your RI on level 5 and run it copiously, if you don't do that, the whole thing is going to grind to a shuddering halt. And you won't know what's happened. You'll think, oh my God, I'm going mad, it's all falling apart. And all you need to do is just run RI for 5 minutes and it'll all come back right again. So always bear that in mind. It's a good thing to run RI before you start your session of level 5. It's a good thing to run RI between levels on the chart. It's a good thing to run RI when the going gets rough. And it's a good thing to run RI at the end of the session, before you leave the session and end the session. In other words, you can run it at any time. And don't be sparing on the running of RI. Now that's, I couldn't say how important, overstress the importance of those remarks on the subject of RI. I said it in the write-up, I'm saying it again here now. Run RI. As you get further and further into level 5, this need to run RI lessens. It lessens. And towards the end, you can almost do without it, but you never completely free of the necessity of running RI. But the need is greatest at the beginning. When you start to run level 5, you have a great need to run lots of RI. It does chew up your importances rather murderously, level 5 does. You've got to repair them. You've got to replace these importances that you're chewing up. The answer is RI. Okay? It's in the write-up, but I'm just repeating it again to make sure that you've got the message. One of the great errors you can make early on in level 5 is to abandon the to no goals package prematurely. That is a very, very bad mistake. A person starts in on it and goes around the whole cycle once and says, oh well, nothing much happened there, and I think I'll now leave the to no goals package and start going on to the junior goals packages. Well, that is a definite mistake. That is a definite mistake. You should stay with that to no goals package until you're so bored with it that it's coming out your ears, you know. And that's the time to leave it. And that is a long way ahead, I can assure you. That is a long way ahead. There's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't, why a person shouldn't stay on that the whole way. That goals package can take you the whole way. No other goals package can. All the other goals packages are junior to that one. That is the senior goals package. That's the granddaddy of them all. There's nothing in any of the junior packages that isn't in that basic to no goals package. That one's the major one. So that's the one you start with, and that's the one you stay with as long as you can. Never feel ashamed about dropping back to a lower level in TROM. If you have a lot of trouble with level 5, then simply drop back. Drop back to level 4. You know, if you're having terrible trouble with level 5 and it's too hot for you, and the going gets really rough and you've done everything, and it's still the going gets rough, okay, just drop back to level 4. You'll find there's plenty of charge on level 4 that will turn up for you. And if level 4's too tough to handle, drop back to level 3. Just do straight time breaking. Just do a session of straight time breaking. And if that's too tough to handle, we'll go back to level 2 and find some differences and similarities. You can always drop back, you see. Don't be ashamed to do it. I've done it many, many times with great, great benefit. So there's no loss of face here. There, so always be prepared to do that. If the going gets rough at level 5, drop back to level 4. And if it's rough at level 4, go back to 3. If it's rough at 3, go back to 2. You'll get some, you know, you'll arrive at a level that you can work at, and then you can crawl your way back up the chart again. Crawl your way back up the levels again to get back on the level 5. That's the clever way to do it. the unclever way to do it is to say, well, now I'm at level 5, and I must stay at level 5, I mustn't go back, that'll be a loss of face. No, that's the wrong approach. If you have to go back, then you go back. Get the idea? Now, finally, Judith, and I've saved this purposely for the very last, is the subject of the of the pan-determined postulates. Now, you didn't mention that you're having any difficulty understanding this. I'm assuming that you're pretty well straightforward on it, but I will just cover it for you briefly just to make sure, to be absolutely certain, that you're very, very au fait with the subject of the self-determined and pan-determined postulates at these levels. Let's go through our levels again now and just make sure that that we know what we're doing here. It's very important that early on when you're working with the goals packages that you get those, put the pan-determined postulates in place. Otherwise you won't know why the postulates change on the chart. The whole thing doesn't make much sense, except in terms of the self-determined and pan-determined postulates. So if you try and take pan-determined postulates out of the equation, the whole thing starts to become rather puzzling. So we have to put them in, particularly early on in therapy. Later on in therapy, they become so automatic that you know they're there, that you don't really have to bother about them. They're obviously there, you know? But early on, you've got to consciously put them there so that you can thoroughly grasp the reasons why the postulates change when they change. And this whole subject of overwhelm then starts to make sense. So let's go through our levels. We have 1A. Now, at level 1A, the only postulates on the board, the only postulates there are the opponent's postulates. There's his self-determined postulate of must be known. And then there's you at your end of the comm line complying with that. Actually, that they're both his postulates. They're his self-determined postulate must be known. And at your end of the line, you're sitting there holding must know, which really is his pan-determined postulate, but you're calling it your self-determined postulate. You see, you've bought it. You've bought the lie. Now, so there's only two postulates involved there. At level 1A. As soon as we go to level 1B, which is a gains level, you now stop buying the lie. Your self-determined postulate of mustn't know reasserts itself at the receipt point, and with it your pan-determined postulate of mustn't be known reappears round the opponent at his end of the comm line. At the same time, you've now clawed your way out of his pan-determined postulate. So his pan-determined postulate is still at your end of the comm line, and his pan-determined postulate, of course, is must know. But you're not in it, you're not dramatizing it anymore, but it's still at your end of the comm line. So at level 1B, there's four postulates there. There's the two self-determined postulates and the two pan-determined postulates, and they're in the positions that I've given. Similarly, at level 2A, it's a gains level, so there's the four postulates. They haven't changed. The only difference, as I said, at 2B is that you've moved now from receipt to origin, but there's still the four postulates in play. There's still the two self-determined postulates and the two pan-determined postulates in the positions I've just given. Then we move to level 2B. We move to level 2B, and here we have an overwhelm level. Now what's happened here is that you've now overwhelmed the opponent. He's lost his self-determined postulate. He's now bought your pan-determined postulate. So there's your self-determined postulate of mustn't know, and he's now bought your pan-determined postulate of must be known. Of mustn't be known. So there's only two postulates on the board, and they're both yours. There's your self-determined postulate of mustn't know, and there's your pan-determined postulate, which the opponent has bought, and he's now in mustn't be known. So they're the only two prospects on the board. The opponent's prospects have gone. He's been overwhelmed. Whenever the opponent is overwhelmed, his prospects have gone. They're no longer in play. When you get overwhelmed, your prospects have gone, and there's only the opponent's prospects in play. So at the overwhelmed levels, there's only two postulates there, but at the gangs levels on the chart, there's always the four postulates, the two self-determined postulates and the two pan-determined postulates. Now, you get it? It's very difficult to explain this in words, but it is much, much simpler once you start to put it out there in your mind and do it. You'll see it immediately. But as I said, unless you see the need for these self-determined and pan-determined postulates, unless you see why we have to get these pan-determined postulates, you never understand why the postulates change on the chart. And the whole chart becomes rather meaningless to you. But put the pan-determined postulates there, then it starts to make an awful lot of sense. And suddenly it'll go click. You say, my God, yes, I've got it. I get it. I get the whole thing. I can see what Dennis is talking about. And after that, it's easy. It gets so easy after a while that the pan-determined postulates, that they are so obviously there, you know, that you put them there so naturally that you don't have to think about them anymore, you know. You know, they're so obviously there. It's like going out shopping in the morning and it's daylight, and so obviously the sun's above the horizon. You know, it's that sort of obviousness, you know, well, later on in level 5. But still, you're always putting the pan-determined postulates there when they ought to be there. You get it? You never cease to do it, but it becomes second nature to you after a while. It's just that early on in therapy, you must do it very, very consciously. You must do it, be very, very consciously aware of doing it. Otherwise, the chart won't make any sense to you.